1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning. I'm Brady Safranik. It's 8 minutes past the 9 o'clock hour. Joining me now, Johnson County Emergency Management Coordinator, Marilyn Conley. Marilyn, good morning.
Good morning, Brady.
And we've got some snow outside. It is supposed to actually start warming up this weekend and into next week. Might even see 60 degrees early next week. And, of course, that can create some problems with melting snow and possible flooding, and that's why we have you in here today. And in this time of the year, ice jams, too, right? Like,
yes.
We could see all that stuff. Tell, what is an ice jam, and how does that occur for people that may not be familiar with the term?
You get those when you have a thaw and a freeze, and it builds up the ice, and then pretty soon when you start getting that major thaw, it breaks it up, and then they're just big chunks that can be the size of a car floating down, and then they run into each other and they'll heave up just like a volcano heaving up into the air, and then it starts
creates a dam, basically.
It does, and then you get flooding.
Yeah. And then, of course, we know that if it gets warm quickly and we start getting the melt-off down here and on the mountain, and, of course, we know we're not done seeing snow yet, that could create issues as well.
That's what we're thinking statewide right now.
Yeah.
So we'll have a statewide flood summit meeting in Casper next week or the week after that, where we'll all get together and talk about, well, what are our resources? If we have more than one area flooding at one time, how will we coordinate that with FEMA or the Office of Homeland Security or requesting resources, those sort of things? And we'll be having hosting a flood sort of mini summit tomorrow with our first responders to go over our incident action plans and make sure that we're all coordinated and
all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And ready to rock and roll.
Yes.
I would imagine anybody whose property has a stream running through it should think about doing something, sandbagging something.
Right. I've been trying to put that word out for about a month now, just getting people, because there's so much snow piled up along people's foundations. I am nervous that they're going to have water running into their basement window wells and garages and things like that. So I've been trying to encourage people to get as much of that snow as possible moved away from those areas. And that is not an easy thing to do because I've been working on it at my house, and when you have 2 inches of ice underneath the snow,
you can't get down to the ground.
It's not real easy to move, and if you're going to place a sandbag, you need to have level ground.
Right.
But you know, worst case scenario, you do the best you could. But so yeah, people need to look at that, because we've had ice buildups where we don't normally see that much ice due to the warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, cold.
And, you know, we haven't had much warm yet. We've had a few days that have hit 50, but we haven't had too many. So we haven't had a lot of the melting, then more snow. We almost had it melted before this last snow.
It was close.
I could see most of the grass in my yard. And then, of course, we got more. But it could have been worse down in Casper. They got 27 inches in this last storm. Or even maybe it was a little more than that.
We did get to be on the edge of that.
Yeah, thankfully we were far enough north that we didn't see the bulk of that. What did we get? Do you know, was it like 5 or 6?
I don't know what the official total was. A little different areas of the community. But probably between 6 and 10.
Yeah, okay.
But the thing that we're looking at is we look at the snow water equivalence, which is a little bit deceiving this year, because when we look at our Powder River Basin after this storm, we were at 121% of normal.
Okay.
So it's like a median kind of a percentage, which means that what they're talking about is how much water is in that snow. So you can have 10 inches of water, but you might have 8 feet of snow.
Okay.
So it can be deceiving. And that's what I think's happening a little bit up here, because we've got a lot of snow on the mountain. A
lot of snow.
And we still have a lot on these lower elevations. So what I think, and I could be wrong, but what I probably am wrong, but what I'm preparing for is two different kinds of runoff.
Okay.
For when it first warms up, like this weekend, Easter is Sunday, is supposed to be a beautiful day,
yeah,
warm. We'll get this lower stuff, and if it warms up and stays warmed up, that's going to come off really fast, and we're going to have some flooding. Then the higher elevations, like 7,000, 8,000 feet, when it warms up for even a longer period of time, that's going to start coming off. What I really don't want to happen is for a situation, I don't see how it could possibly happen, but where it would all come off.
Well, it could happen if it hit 80 degrees here and, you know, it was 60 up on the mountain. Then,
I know.
You know, I think we're hopefully a little ways away from 80 degrees, but...
And then the rain affects that too.
Yeah.
So if we get
because we're
really
not done
warm,
with rain
no,
or snow, right?
No, we're still going to have
snow. I mean, it's April. We get a decent amount of snow in April.
Yeah. So that's what we're kind of making our plans to look like two kind of.
You want it to come in two separate times.
I would hope
that's,
so.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And then hopefully it won't. Neither one of them will be like a rain on snow, 70-degree days, and just all...
Well, and, you know, we've got quite a bit in town, too, to get rid of. If you notice by Przinski mm-hmm. Park where they dump all the snow, there's a big pile there.
Yes.
That's going to take a little while to melt all that down.
We're going to see some pretty good little snow melt streams running along the curbs.
Clear Creek will be running pretty good here
soon,
too.
And if people see, sometimes I'll get a call because people see water coming out in the park where the train is.
Right.
In that area. That's a good thing for that water to come out.
It's a good spot.
There. Because it keeps it from going down. But... we do have sand.
Where can people get sand? And do they need their own bags? How does that work?
I have bags.
Okay.
To a point.
Bags until you don't have bags.
Yeah. And then I have to save some back for, like, critical infrastructure.
Like my house.
you know, it depends on how you look at it. You know, we wouldn't want... we wouldn't want the radio station to flood because we want to keep the radio station on the air.
Yeah, we want to tell people about the flooding.
Yeah, but your house, you would have to call me, 217-1879, and say, hey, I need some sandbags. I'd say, okay. And there's a way to estimate how many you need. Most times people only need... you know, a handful of sandbags just to keep water from, like, running into their basement window wells or things like that. So you get the sandbags from emergency management.
Okay.
And then the sand is down behind the county fire hall. So you take that McKinley Street, cross the North Bypass, and go, I think that's called King Lane, after you go across the bypass, the North Bypass. And you'll see off to the right, there's a pile of sand, and there's a sign in it that says for public use.
So it's free. You can just
it's
go and...
It's free.
Okay.
You just take your
take
shovel
what you need.
And your gloves, get your sandbags, and you can go down and fill your sandbags.
Okay.
The thing that I've noticed, though, that I wanted to talk a little bit about is people tend to fill their sandbags too full. You don't fill them all the way up. You only fill them maybe a little over half, two-thirds.
Okay. And that's so that they can move a little bit and really get into the grooves,
right,
and keep everything tight.
Right, and there's a specific way to lay them. So you don't, I've seen people just fill them up, tie them, and then just stand them up. That won't work.
Well, you lay them flat,
you
right?
lay them flat. And you don't have to tie them to lay them flat. So when you've got your sandbag and it's filled about two-thirds full, you've got probably, I want to say, 8 inches of flap there.
Okay.
And you just take your next sandbag and lay it over that flap.
Okay.
So then you've got better seal as you go. And then that way you're going to keep more water from coming in. And then if you want to go build up higher, you need, for every foot you go up, you need like a two, three foot base.
Okay.
So as you go out as you go up.
So you can't just do one line straight up. That's going to fall over.
Right.
Especially with Wyoming wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It won't hold. I mean, if the water hits it.
Oh, the water hits it, it'll knock it right over too.
Right.
Okay.
And so you stack your sandbags like you would lay bricks. So you got your bottom rows, and you lay the next full one over top of that flap. Some people fold the flap over and then, like, make a triangle kind of thing, and then, but you don't have to. And then the next layer you put on like
okay.
you would bricks.
Okay. And people should get on that fairly quickly, right? Because, like you said, Sunday it's going to get warm. We're going to be in the 50s, might hit 60 by early next week. And
mm-hmm.
and if it stays there, down here, we're going to see a melt-off fairly quickly, especially if there's sunny days, because that makes a
yes.
big difference.
Right. And so I can't hand out, you know, 100 sandbags to everybody. So we have to be a little bit conservative. But so I'd just ask people to, you know.
Just take what you need.
Just, yeah. Because I have, I don't know, about 10,000 sandbags. But those don't go very far.
And so for those of us that that enjoy fly fishing, it might be a little while before we can get on the streams once this melt-off starts, huh?
Could be.
Yeah.
And we could have one of those where we've got high water from May clear into the end of June.
Jeepers. Yeah.
It's just kind of a crapshoot, for
yeah.
lack of a better word, right now.
Well, it depends how quickly it gets warm. Mm-hmm. And how warm, because, you know,
and
it's
going
to be 15 to 20 degrees cooler on the mountain. So when it's 60 here, it's still not melting real fast up on the mountain.
Right.
But if it's 75, 80 here, then it's melting pretty mm-hmm. quickly up on the mountain.
We could have, it's been a few years since we've had water up to the bridge on Main Street.
You know, I was just thinking about that. I moved here in 2014, and I can't remember which year it was. It was within the first few years I was here. That it got pretty close to Main Street down there. Like, you know, you'd go by and you'd watch it because it's, you know, a couple feet from coming over the road, and that gets a little bit scary.
I know it has in the past, but I haven't seen it actually overtop the bridge on Main Street.
You know, and while it sounds like that'd be cool to see, we don't want to see that.
No, because then what that does is it runs down Main Street, and then the businesses...
Well, because then there's a hill that goes up, so it's going to pool right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a gauge there that I've taken pictures and showed it all over in different presentations that I've made to other counties and different agencies. But there's a gauge down there on the side. So when you're on Main Street and you're looking over the bridge, you can look off to the right-hand side there, and there's a gauge. And at the top of it, it says run.
It's too late. Save yourself. That's funny. Is that on the, what would that be, the busy
it's
B side?
It's on the
side?
Busy B side.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, run. It's too high.
And I don't know who put that in there, because it's been there for long as I can remember.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to the running point.
If you want to keep an eye on Clear Creek, you can look at that. And when it gets to that, I've seen it get right within inches of going over the bridge. But
we'll cross our fingers that doesn't happen this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we do, just so people know, we do have a plan. You know, we're working with the city and the county and all the first responders and private entities that can provide resources. And so we have a pretty good idea of what we would need to do if and when something drastic like that would happen. But hopefully it'll be more of a nuisance kind of thing rather than a full-out
disaster.
Yeah.
So do you recommend, what do you recommend for people that they, other than the sandbags, is there anything people can do to kind of prepare themselves for possible flooding?
One thing is a lot of people, when the ground gets saturated, they start having water come up in their basements and things that it's not necessarily water running into, but coming up.
Seeping in.
Yeah. So people should, if they've got things sitting on their basement floors,
get them up in the air.
Put them on
some shelves.
Cinder blocks or something. You know, some tube of fours. They usually don't have to.
Pallets or anything.
Raise it up very high, but that's something to be, because when we had that last flash flood, when FEMA came in and helped us out, a lot of the damages that we saw were from furnaces and hot water heaters in the basement. And when the basement got flooded, it ruined their furnace and their water heater.
Yeah, that's no good.
So think about that if you've got a lot of stuff just sitting on the...
Especially if you've had water in your basement previously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... it's always a good idea to have, be able to turn to KBBS, find out.
1450 AM. 103.5 FM.
Yeah.
And we're streaming through our website, BighornMountainRadio.com.
Okay, because you're our official, if we're going to get a lot of things out to people, we want to use KBBS.
And we want to be here for that.
And, so that's a good thing to remember. If you haven't signed up for Code Red, do that.
Code Red is great to have.
And that's pretty handy.
We get the phone call, and guess whose voice I hear?
Yeah.
Sometimes
I try to push it off on that automated voice, especially if it's something that's going to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning, because I've gotten in trouble for that. People don't like that very well.
So when it's your voice, then people get mad at you. What are you calling me at 2 a.m. for, Marilyn?
Yes.
If it's a robotic voice, you can pretend it wasn't you.
Who call?
Yeah, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. No, and I don't blame people, but it is a good way to get the information, as long as we have phone service.
Absolutely.
And then just be prepared to have to, make sure you've got your little family go kit and be prepared to evacuate if you have to. Now, I'm not saying that I think we're going to have enough water come down through here that some people would have to actually evacuate. But it's like any other emergency.
Be prepared.
If you have that stuff ready to go, it's not quite as...
Yeah, it's
bad.
Never going to hurt you to be prepared, but if you're not prepared and you need it, then suddenly it could be chaos.
Yep.
Yeah. But we do have a pretty good chance that that there's going to be at least some type of flooding. Is
that
correct?
There's going to be some high water.
Yeah, there's going to be some high water.
But we watch, just so people know, we watch the gauges all the time. So we know that if Clear Creek gets to 5 feet... then that's our action trigger point to say, okay, now we need to start gearing things up and start positioning things. And
of course, at that point, you can look at the weather and see how warm it's going to be, coming up, and then better gauge just how much we're going
to
get.
Because over the years, we've been able, you know, we're able to say, okay, we know that especially when that stuff starts coming off higher up, we know when it peaks down here. Usually it's in the dark when it actually is the highest that it's going to get before it kind of levels out. And we have specific areas that we watch. And, for example, like on Klondike where the bridge is, the city has in the past positioned equipment there to pull things out of the creek, logs, debris, that would keep things from floating down and clogging up something else that could cause a flood. So everybody works together to try to do some of that mitigation prior to something big happening.
Well, yeah, because in addition to the water rising, as it rises, it's pulling stuff from the shores into the stream. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, could be big logs, could be, you know, branches, parts of trees.
Big rocks,
and even right now, big sheets of ice. We're talking about the ice jam possibilities. And yeah, as you mentioned, at some point it's going to get to where that clogs it somewhere, and then you could dam up and have all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
So just...
Be prepared.
Have some situational awareness. That's my favorite.
If you think your yard is prone to flooding a little bit, like you mentioned, maybe grab some sandbags, go around
the little irrigating
basement windows, that sort of thing.
Build some little berms or whatever, and
we don't need to build an ark, right? Like we're not in that. We're not there yet.
No.
But grab some sandbags. Know that the water's going to be a little bit high this year, maybe a little bit longer than it is in the past years
as well. We've been pretty fortunate the last couple of winters especially.
Yeah.
That it just came off just like it should.
And this year Mother Nature's been like, well, we're going to hit you with a bunch more snow. And now we hope that Mother Nature's nice to us here in the spring.
Right. And there's other places in the state that I think are going to be in way worse shape than we are as far as water coming off. But we just want to be as prepared as we can be.
All right.
So
be prepared for the flooding. And of course, Marilyn, we'll have you back on as you know, it starts to warm up and more water starts to flood the streams and that sort of thing. We'll have you back on to kind of give us updates as to where we are in
and
that situation.
You're very good about putting things on your Facebook pages. And so there'll be information for people that way as well. I'm not super good at it, but I try. But I'm a lot better at calling you and saying, would you put this on your Facebook page?
Absolutely.
But I'll try to keep ours updated, too. Oh, and Brady, one other thing. Mm-hmm. Right now we're working on every 5 years we have to do an update on our hazard mitigation plan, which includes flooding. So one of the things that we do is we put out a public survey. And I've had that on the Emergency Management Facebook page. And it's also on the Johnson County, Wyoming.org webpage.
Okay.
So if people would go to that page and take that little survey, it probably wouldn't take more than 5-10 minutes. It's really good information for us to put into that hazard mitigation plan. So I would like people to do that as well.
Okay. And earlier you mentioned Code Red, the notification system of when things happen here. If people want to join the Code Red, how do they do that?
If they haven't joined Code Red, they do the same thing. They go to JohnsonCountyWyoming.org, scroll down to the bottom of the page. There's a little box there that says Quick Links or something, and there's the word Code Red in there along with several other things. Click on that and go to the enrollment page.
Okay.
And follow the directions. They don't have to, it'll ask them if they want to make a password. I tell them not to do that because if they need to get in there and change something and they don't remember their password, there's no way to retrieve that.
So I have a fail-safe way to remember passwords. You ready for this? Make your password incorrect. So if you put the wrong one in, it tells you your password is incorrect. It works.
Well, Maryland? That might be fine.
So if you get it wrong, it tells you exactly what it is.
Now, our IT folks probably wouldn't recommend that for me.
Yeah, you don't want to use it if it's a security issue with people getting access to something. But if it's just something simple, yeah, you know, and if someone else gets into it, it's no big deal, then incorrect is the best one to use.
All right. Well, in Code Red, just don't use one, okay? Just go past that and follow the directions.
All right. We're talking with Johnson County Emergency Management Coordinator Marilyn Conley. Marilyn, we thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And everybody keep those radio dials tuned right here, KBBS.